Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Proverbs chapter 9. Took me a bit of research to make sure that I provided good instruction this morning. At the beginning of this proverb, there is an introduction into a house built by wisdom. And it appears a lot like some of the proverbs that refer to a woman trying to entice a man to take part with her, which does come up quite a bit in the book of Proverbs, and that we need to have wisdom to not go with that woman and to stay away from her. And isn't it interesting that in the beginning of this proverb, we see a beautiful house built by wisdom? And, you know, in some ways, the seductive one can do things to attract someone to that revelry. And yet, wisdom also is got such a beautiful. It's attractive too. It's beautiful. It's something that God wants us to see all the good in it. And in this way, that's how Proverbs 9 begins. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars, and sometimes wisdom of God is referred to in the feminine, using the feminine pronouns. She has perplexed her food. She has mixed her wine. That's kind of what really threw me off this morning. But you know, in the Bible, drunkenness is a sin, but partaking of wine without drunkenness is not. But that's kind of what threw me. But anyways, she also has set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come eat my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. And then it says, forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. And we definitely need to do that. We need to forsake living in worldliness, forsake folly, and proceed in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. He who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Isn't that interesting? You know, if we were to try to give instruction to someone who wants to scoff God's wisdom or to scoff God's word, they will likely just insult you back. And it's saying that there really isn't, there's not much use in reproving or correcting a scoffer. They'll usually just, you know, say some kind of insult to you. But you know what? If you come to someone who's wise, and perhaps even in their wisdom, they might be in error in a certain area, or, you know, just could use a word of wisdom in a certain area, a word of correction at times. Even a wise man can maybe be going down a wrong path. And if they're wise, they actually will listen and they will learn from it and they will get all the better. And when a righteous man, when you teach a righteous man, he'll investigate it further and will increase his learning. And so that says something to those that we minister to in this world, but it also, I think, teaches us something that, you know, are we wise? Are we willing to take correction, to learn and grow and take correction as a means of getting wiser? I think one of the problems with it is obviously the one giving advice, whether they're right or wrong, they think they're right, right? So someone may think they're giving you wisdom because they think they know something. And then if you aren't receiving what they are saying because they think they're right, of course, then they could say, oh, well, you're being a fool. You're not willing to take instruction. Well, it's because you don't agree with the advice. So, you know, there's a little bit of a challenge in that. You can't always take advice because you can hear what it says, but then you have to evaluate whether it's true or not. So not all advice is going to be right and good, but when someone does give us right and good advice, may we have the wisdom to discern that it is good and right, and then may we learn from it, even if it is a correction for us. I love what it says in verse 10, and those who listen along will know that. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And man, hallelujah, I tell you what, there's nothing better than loving God, loving His Word, coming to know Him, studying Him, studying what He has to say, learning, gaining wisdom from God. It's the beginning of wisdom to have the fear of the Lord. If you don't have that and you don't believe the book's right, well, then you're making up your own truth. But if you fear God and you honor His Word, now you know where to go to find out what's right and wrong, what's good and right, what's holy and true, and what is not. And knowledge of the Holy One, knowledge of our Lord Jesus and of His Word is understanding. Hallelujah. "For by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you." And I think that's going to be true most of the time. Now, you know, just interesting, as I read that, there was a pastor, youth pastor, and at times other forms of pastor, maybe even a head pastor at one time, a lead pastor, and he was a really good dude, and he just passed away. I don't know exactly of what. I think he was younger than I, and I presume some type of heart attack or something, but he just passed away yesterday. Pretty sad, really neat man of God. And you know, these statements in Proverbs are going to be true most of the time. You know, I mean, it is good and right to be a believer in Jesus and follow His Word, and I believe that by following God, your life is going to have greater blessing, and your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. However, that's not going to be true in every instance, and Proverbs are not guarantees from God. That's not how they're written. They're wise sayings, and they prove to be true, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be true for every individual every time. "If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you bear it alone." It's an interesting statement that could use some further evaluation. "If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you alone will bear it." That is interesting. You're gonna bear the consequences of your scoffing, and if you're wise, there's gonna be a blessing for you and others, but there's gonna be a blessing for you in being wise. "The woman of folly is boisterous," and you know, we see this woman get brought up in the book of Proverbs, as I was referring to at the beginning, which why I was a little bit confused at the onset of this proverb. But "the woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he who does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." Isn't that something? Rather than being wise, this person is following the ways of this world and is involved in sexual promiscuity and doing things in secret, and has been enticed to live a life that is not living for the glory of God. And what the proverb is saying is the person who's living that way does not know that basically they're dead and their guests are in the depths of Sheol. Listen to that. You know, you can be alive but be dead. That's, man, that is a tragic thing too. Do you know that you're not really truly alive as far as living for the kingdom until you've been born again, until you believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in you, and now you have a new reason for living, and you look at people from a different perspective, and what really matters is that people believe in Jesus and are part of his family and are promised eternal life, and as a result of that, they can live their life here for an eternal purpose and for the Lord. And before that, you're really dead. You're dead to living for the things of God. You're living, you're alive, you're in life, but you're not even aware, and you can't live for the kingdom of God yet because you're not a part of it. You can't see its objective and live for its objective. So you're alive, but you're dead. And there's a lot of dead people. Their beds are already in the depths of Sheol. If they don't wake up and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, become born again and begin living for him, they're already on their way to the penalty of hell. They're on their way to not receiving heaven. But that's not even, listen, that's the sad part then, right? I mean, it's obviously very sad for someone to not receive the free gift of eternal life and be promised the heavenly places in ages to come. That's tragic. But what's tragic now is to be living and alive and breathing in this world, living on this planet, but actually be doing nothing for the kingdom of God and not really even being aware of it, or at least awakened into living for a God-centered purpose. And it's as though you've got one foot in the grave, you're one foot in Sheol, you're already dead because you're not alive in Jesus Christ. So, you know, there's two ways of being alive, you know, alive now in Christ, but then we'll be living with the Lord forever, even when our time's done on here. We'll put this tent away one day and we'll be with the Lord in heaven, but why not live for him while you're here? Why not, you know, get your foot out of the bed of Sheol and put one foot up already in heaven? We're already seated in the heavenly places. You know what? If we would just see ourselves, we've already got that promise. Instead of having one foot in Sheol, we've got one foot in paradise, but we still got one foot on earth living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords until that day we get both feet up in paradise. Hallelujah. Man, that's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing Jesus Christ, fearing his name, living for him. Hallelujah. That there is wisdom. Let's get that wisdom. Hallelujah. God bless you all.